Revelation chapter 16 and verses 12 to 21. Right, we will study this session first, and if there's time, we will go to Revelation chapter 17. Okay, we will try to end by 6, latest 6:20 today. Okay. Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 to 21. I shall begin with verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. I'm sorry, I read back the same verse. Okay. Anyway, continue with verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, "It is done." And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Together, verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. The Lord blessed the reading of his sacred word. These vow judgments, seven of them, would represent God's final judgment upon the earth before we enter into the time of the millennium. And these judgments are final. Nobody will be able to stop these judgments from happening once it is pronounced. That is exactly the theme of Revelation chapter 15, right? Whereby you will see there is smoke that is being filled in heaven, and then the pronouncement for judgment will happen, and then we will have the vows that are being poured out upon the earth, upon the sea, upon various places. The final one, which is in verse 7, in the seventh vow, will be upon the air. Now, one thing that we need to understand regarding these vow judgments is this. You will find that these vow judgments will look very similar to that of the Ten Commandments in certain places. However, there is one very big difference. And the big difference would be this. The way that is written in the book of Revelation chapter 16 seems to imply that these vow judgments do not just occur subsequently. Right? You know that for the 10 plagues, you have the first judgment, first plague, and then it stopped. Right? Then you have the second plague, and then it stopped. And then you have the third plague, and then it stopped, right? Whereas when you come to Revelation chapter 16, there's no implication that the plague stopped. Understand this, okay? And so, it will mean that, okay, you have the first plague, then when the first plague came, the second plague also came, then the third plague also came. And then finally, you have, right, the seventh plague that is given, right, from verses 17 to verse 21. So all these plagues occur almost simultaneously. And that is why these vow judgments are, in some sense, could be said to be much fiercer much more woeful, put it that way, right? Much more of serious in magnitude compared to what we have seen previously in the book of Revelation. Now, we stop at verse 12, right? We had the first few vows, the judgments that are given. Then we come to verse 12, and this has to do with the river Euphrates. Verse 12 here says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vow upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So take note, here is stated as the way of the kings of the east. As we have discussed last week, the east here would imply to the east of Israel. And so if you take a look at the countries to the east of Israel, you would therefore mean that the kings from the nations towards the east of Israel will come down. So what will this nation be? Well, we do not know, because this will occur in the future. Like, for example, some will say China will come down. Now, will China be in assistance during those days? We can't be sure, although the book of Isaiah seemed to imply that the land of Sinim is still in assistance. Could there be Russia still? Could there still be Japan? Could there still be South Korea? How about Singapore? Well, if Singapore is still around, perhaps they will join in with the kings of the east to go down to this war that is going to happen in verse 12. Right, so this will be the kings of the east, not the kings of the west. Okay, take note, the kings of the east. So this is how the world is being prepared. I hope you can see that all these things are now in motion in the world. Please do not be surprised at the antagonism towards Israel in the world. It is how it is going to be, because it will build up to fever pitch all the way until the time comes where you have this final war down here in verse 12. Some would say this is World War III. Could there be other world wars in between? I do not know. But the way it seems, right, at least to me, is that if we are going to fight another war right now, and it's on the global scale, perhaps it might be the final war, because the weapons now that we have are just simply too horrible. Right? True? Very horrible weapons. I'm quite sure that nuclear weapons are scary enough, unless man can think and come up with something even more powerful, which I would not be surprised. So, take note, this is what will happen. And here the Bible says that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, what is interesting down here is this. The way it is written in verse 12, it tells us that the river Euphrates was purposefully dried up by God in order to allow for the battle to take place. Now, this battle takes place against whom? Now, this battle takes place against Israel, isn't it? And yet, this is called a vow. This is called a vow judgment. Why is that the case? Because if you think about it, if this is called a judgment, then why is it that Israel is being targeted? Right? Israel is being targeted and it's called a judgment against the world. Have you ever stopped and think about that? Right? Because if it's a judgment, it shouldn't be against Israel, right? Why would the Lord want to permit Israel to suffer, to be attacked in this particular war? So, we must therefore view this particular incident with a bigger lens. What is happening down here is this. Yes, of course, the Lord permitted this war to happen and all these kings of the east will come. But what we have down here would then be the Lord will allow them to come towards Israel, and then remember that all these kings of the east who come down, they are going to be destroyed by the Lord. Remember the Revelation chapter 14, where the Lord talks about how the earth was ripe to be pressed, right, about this vine press, and then there will be this blood that will be spilled that will run for 300 kilometers, which will be the distance between Singapore to Kuala Lumpur. This will be it. So yes, permit them to attack, but it's really literally the punitive will of God. You want to die? Okay, go and die. Come. It's literally an invitation for the people to come to run headlock towards their death. That is exactly what the Lord is doing down here. It's an invitation to be judged. And this kings of the world, these armies of the east, they will accept the invitation gladly and they will come. Now, of course, when they run towards Israel, all they will think in their mind is to raise Israel. They will not know what is going to happen very soon. And they will go, and then the Lord will judge them. So take note, okay? And take note the importance of the great river Euphrates down here. Why is this important? Because if you study the geography of the land that is promised by the Lord to Abraham with regards to Israel, you will realize that these boundaries run far greater than what modern Israel is today. In fact, the boundaries of Israel were never fully captured by the children of Israel during their history. Please understand that Israel is not only just bounded by the land of Canaan. Although when it comes to the time of Joshua, their immediate mission given to them by God is, okay, this land of Canaan, you're going to dwell here. Now go in, occupy the land, and extinguish the entire land. Every single one, not one is to be left behind. Every single nation is to be destroyed. Of which, of course, we know that the children of Israel did not do so. They left some behind, and these people become thorns in their sides. And these nations begin to lead them to idolatry. Okay? Now, having conquered this plot of land, the whole promise of God is way beyond this plot of land. If you study the book of Genesis, you will realize that this plot of land actually ranges all the way from the river Euphrates all the way down to Egypt, down to the river now. In fact, some parts of Egypt today belongs to Israel. So all the way down there, okay, that means the whole Sinai Peninsula, which Israel gladly gave to Egypt, back to Egypt after the war, right, because of peace. That one will, in the end, go back to Israel all the way until the river now. Right, the river now will be the divider. So after the river now, so to the west of the river now, downwards, okay, that will be Egypt. Then from the river now towards the east of the river now, right, in a diagonal fashion, all the way to the Sinai Peninsula, all the way up, all the way to the river Euphrates, today's Iraq and Iran. All these places will belong to Israel. And that is why when modern Israel is formed, they have a map called Greater Israel. They have this map called Greater Israel. You go and type in the internet, you type Greater Israel, you will easily see the map. And the people are very afraid of this. They know from the Bible that this whole land will belong to Israel. So why do you think the nations of the world are very antagonistic? They know. This is Greater Israel. This is what Israel desires to have and what is rightfully theirs, because it's promised by God in the book of Genesis. And it has never been fulfilled. And now, therefore, what you are going to have, remember after this, what will you have? You will have the time of the millennium, where the Lord Jesus Christ will rule physically upon the earth. And remember that the nation of Israel will still be in existence during the time of the millennium. Where would the boundaries of the nation of Israel be? This will make it happen. This will make it happen. Necessary for the war to occur with the drawing up the river Euphrates, with all these armies coming down from the east to attack Israel. Remember what happened during the war in Israel? The Yom Kippur, the Six-Day War? How did Israel manage to obtain Jerusalem? Initially, Jerusalem did not belong to Israel. Right? It's because the armies of the surrounding nations, they attacked Israel. So in order to survive, Israel attacked back, and in the end, Israel got Jerusalem. You all know this, right? You all don't know. Rachel, do you know this? Don't know, huh? Okay, Rachel, homework. After FEBC semester over, okay, go and read. This one you must know, huh? Okay. Yeah, that's how Israel was obtained, right? They wanted to attack Israel. Israel only actually had a very small plot of land. And then they went to attack Israel, and because they went to attack Israel, Israel had no choice but to go to the offensive, and so Israel went and then attacked them, and then captured all the way land until the border of Jordan there, of which later on they ceded, right? Israel ceded some of the land back, and then they took parts of Jerusalem. And when they conquered Jerusalem, that is where you have the historical video whereby they will go and then they will plant the flag of Israel and then they sang the Hativa. You all know this, huh? If not, you all go and read. Okay, you can see very easily on YouTube all these things. Very interesting. So that is what happened during the war. And that is exactly what is going to happen here in Revelation chapter 16. Israel is going to obtain the land, not because Israel went out to attack the people first, the nations first, but because the nations come and attack Israel, only that this time Israel is powerless and then the Lord is going to give Israel the victory directly. Okay, so understand this, okay? So that is the implication of the river, right? The term river Euphrates, because now greater Israel is going to be achieved and the Lord himself is going to reign with greater Israel as the capital nation of the entire world. Okay? Now, how will this happen? The rivers dry up, and then Satan becomes very happy. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. Now, of course, frogs down here will tell you that this spirit that governs the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet will, of course, be lying spirits. Not only just that, but it also tells us that they are of the same spirit, they are of the same mind. And they will, of course, the false prophet and the beast will do the bidding of the dragon, will be energized by him to tell all these lies, to tell all this deception, to get the entire world to go in a war against Israel. It's good to be of the same mind. It's good to be of the same spirit. But if this same mind and same spirit is not the mind of Christ, it is not according to the truth, not according to the Bible, then you are in big, big trouble. Because this is exactly what is happening down here. The dragon, the beast, the false prophet will be of the same mind, but this same mind will be the mind of Antichrist, against Christ, rebellion. And they will all talk with the same message. They will all talk with the same agenda. And they will go about in the world trying to get the world to come round to their plan. We want to go and destroy Israel. And why do they want to destroy Israel? Because many of the saints in those days, they are going to be in Israel. They are going to be Israel, and so therefore they are going to hate Israel very much, and they will want to raise Israel to the ground. And so how would they get the world to follow their agenda? Well, these spirits, they will go about, right, from the mouth of this false prophet, from the mouth of this beast, from the mouth of this dragon, the spirits of devils, right, so devilish spirit, right, we should go about blaspheming, we should go about slandering, we should go about with false accusations, and also, interestingly down here, working miracles. Working miracles. And so, therefore, please, never be impressed when you hear about miracles. Never be impressed when you hear about miracles. Why? Because many times people would say that, oh, if I see, if I could see, for example, during those days where the Red Sea departed, and then I can cross the Red Sea, then perhaps my faith will be stronger. Then perhaps I will believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what some would say. And this is not theory, because this is what one young man told me from my Sunday school class last time. I don't want to say that name because Mr. Tyers will know he was the Sunday school from his batch. But he stopped attending after some time. Naughty boy. But now very good now here. Okay. So one of these and now he's a fine young man who loves the Lord. Okay, but during those days he was still young, he was still learning. So he come and then he would say, Uncle Clement, I find it hard to believe in the Bible, why doesn't the Lord let me be during the time of the Red Sea, and then the manna that comes down. When I see all these things, then maybe maybe it will be easier for me to believe. And that is exactly what the world would think, right? That's exactly what the world would think. Why do you think people have such a fancy for miracle rallies? What's the purpose of miracle rallies? The purpose of miracle rallies is to astound people by sight, thinking that by having, you know, seeing all these amazing things that are done, they would then believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what happened during the time of the Exodus? You have all these miracles that are done, and then you will notice that despite all these miracles that are done, the children of Israel, having seen them and experienced them in their life, many of them are still filled with the heart of unbelief. That would be the theme of the book of Exodus, which God willing, the young people, the Ebenezer, they will be learning 11 messages altogether. They started with the first one. Easy to bring, not say easy, is already, right, to get the children of Israel to leave Egypt physically is already hard, right? God had to intervene with the 10 plagues, with a strong arm, he will bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Egypt was still in the hearts of the children of Israel. That is the theme of the book of Exodus. And that is despite all the, looking at all the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, the manna, the water that flowed after the flowed from the rock with the children of Israel, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The children of Israel still had a heart of unbelief. So therefore, don't be impressed by miracles. In the end, yes, the miracles can be done, but whether or not a child truly believes is with the working of the Holy Spirit, with the still small voice working in the person's heart to convict the person of his sin and to bring the person unto salvation. That's it. That is why sometimes you, when it comes to church, right, you can see some, they grew up in the church, they hear God's word all the time, and their families also teach them God's word, or try their best. The Sunday school teachers also try their best, and they grew up in church, and in the end, they may not even believe in God's word, or they grow up to be very babyish Christians. Then you can have one who has never heard of the gospel before come and hear. Then after a few sessions, you share with the person. The person, by simple faith, believe. And lo and behold, after a few years in the church, he grew up to be a very mature Christian. And only has just some slight contact with the gospel. And then yet, like, the faith can be strong. How to explain this? Like, working of the Spirit. So therefore, when it comes to miracles, please do not be impressed by it. The one group that is very impressed by all these signs, by the physical sight, by the senses, are the charismatics. Oh, which again, the young people are learning, Ebenezer, charismatics, that's right? Charismatics, Elder John is teaching, right? By sight, senses, working miracles. But these miracles, of course, are false miracles, lying miracles, which will be used by the dragon, by the beast, by the false prophets, to go forth to the kings of the earth and of the world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, the day of the Lord, right down here, right? So right here, the context, of course, of the day of the Lord refers to what? Refers to that great battle, the great battle of judgment, and after that, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right, second coming, with the church, right, down. Right, that is the context of the great day of God Almighty. Right? The day of the Lord, oftentimes used as a day of very great and severe judgment of the Lord. And oftentimes you will find that it is followed by a time of great blessing for God's people, whereby God's people will be vindicated, right, in the sight of the world. So down here, yes, that great day of God Almighty will come. And purposely mentioned the word Almighty because through this particular war, you will see the might of God. Okay? And this will come suddenly, right? Behold, I come as a thief. Right? So it will come suddenly. It's imminent and sudden. And so what should be the attitude of
God's people towards the coming of Jesus Christ. We all hear the Bible says, blessed is he that watcheth for this second coming and keepeth his garments. Now, what do we mean by keepeth his garments? Lest he walk naked. I mean, you sleep. I mean, where got people come and steal your clothes, right? So what come you talk about keepeth his garments? Now, down here, when we talk about keepeth his garments, the idea of this is very much like in the military, right? In the military, when you stand on guard, you need to have your armor on, right? It's just like how some of our young men, when they do national service, when they do guard duty, they have to be in their uniform. Right, Tan Yen? Yes? Officer also, right? Supposedly, lah. But the officers are the ones who have their armor off. the men must have on, because the officer will not be checked, right? The officer doing the checking. Then when all the men are sleeping, because why? Because this one men, you see, this one suffer. This one last time suffer, now no suffer. Suffer different ways, lah. Right, men, right? So down there, and men sleeping, then suddenly turn out, check. Wow, all the rifle, everything, right? Hey, you must be your number four. You go and then you're sleeping, all your boots, everything out there, and then you turn out, you finish for you. And some people, they think that, you know, there was one time there was this duty officer, they assume that he's very nice. He's actually a very nice officer. Really very nice officer, very nice to his men. And so this group of friends of mine, they got him for duty officer, thinking that he will never turn out, because throughout his entire tenure as officer, he never turned out the guards, not as a surprise, like emergency to come and then test and then do all the drills. He never turned them out. Right? I think Korea also have, right? Like this. See, he never. So you just assume, because he's really a very nice man. After that, he's still very nice, okay? But that day, he decided to fulfill his responsibility. Turn out. And then he got very angry. Because all these people who think they are so, it's so good for them to be under him as a duty officer, they took it for granted. Their shoes came off, everything, all very slack, all not ready. Suddenly turned out, finished for them. Not ready. They did not keep their garments. Now, this happened to be in peacetime. In war, you really don't keep your garments, you are finished. You think the enemy will come and announce, hey, Mattathias, I'm coming to attack in 1 hour's time, okay? You'll be ready, yeah? Mattathias, 1 hour, I come and attack. No enemy will come, will announce like this. If they come, they just come. And so here, right, this particular verse has a particular idea. You keep your garments on. In other words, you are ready for his coming. Like, you are not slothful, you are not sleepy. You're very awake, you're watching, right? That is the meaning of the word watch, right? From the name Gregory, right? Very alert. And you are ready all the time. Because if the army comes and then you have no armor on, that's what you mean by naked. Not, that doesn't mean that you do not have any clothes on, but your armor is not on. That would be to the shame of that particular soldier, right? So take note of this, right? And of course, this is true for us. We must be ready for the coming of Christ for the church. And even for the tribulation saints in those days, they must be ready for the coming of Christ too. And you will realize, therefore, the characteristic of a Christian would then be what? He is always watchful. He's always alert. He is ready for the coming of the Savior. So are you ready? Right, that would be the question. Please be ready, okay? And then, where will the battle take place? Now, verse 16, back to the battle. And he, right, he, who is the he? That is a good question. Some would say the dragon, some would say the beast, some would say the false prophet. But I tend to think, right, in the light of this context, this he is none other than God Almighty. He allowed them to come down. He is the one who gathered them into this place. And this place is going to be their death trap. And where is this place? Well, this place is in a place which in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon, right? And I believe our dear brother Deacon Tikbing has sent a picture to the adults. The adults had a very nice picture of the field.
If not, you can go back to the adult Bible study one, and then you scroll up. I think he sent. Right? Did he send? Yes, adults? I think so. If not, we can ask him to send again. Right? Ha Megiddo.
Ha Megiddo. Ha meaning mountain. Right, Megiddo, of course, is the place, the mountain of Megiddo. And if you go to this place, Ha Megiddo, you will realize that it is situated in the center of many ancient highways, right, tradeways. So, in the past, right, the kings, when they come down, they will always like to gain control of that particular area, right? Because if you have to pass through, it's a major highway, major crossroad. You control that particular place. You control the supplies, and you can starve the enemy out. Right? So they would like to control that place. So many battles were fought there, and in this mountain there is a very large valley, a field, right, that can easily contain the a great number of men, fighting men, and well, even tanks or whatever, right, is there. And when you talk about Ha Megiddo, how did it become Ha Megiddo? Of course, there's a mountain there, but also in terms of the plain and certain areas where it's raised, you will realize that certain areas of the place is raised, not because it is originally really a raised topography, you know, but what they have is something called a tell. Now, what is a tell? T-E-L-L. Now, let's say, for example, you have a city, right? I'm not going to draw the buildings, like, you just imagine this is a city, okay? Then when you come and raise it, then a new army comes. Now, this will be the raised ground, right? After that, what will happen? You have a new army, new kingdom will come and build on top of it, right? Then after that, another war fights, and then you build on top of the new ground, on top of the new ground. These are each individual layer that is what we call a tell. Right? T-E-L-L, a tell.
And so you will see a lot of all these tells, right, raised platforms over there because of the walls that were fought down there. And then when you see the land, well, the land is very fertile. But when you see the fertile land, remember that the land is fertile. Of course, originally the soil was fertile, but also made fertile by what? Oh, by the many wars that were fought down there. The blood of men is on the ground. And so, well, one final battle will be fought down there where the blood will be spilled. 300 kilometers of it, right, starting from Ha Megiddo, down here, right, Armageddon. And so that's how the name Armageddon comes, okay? When he says that in the Hebrew tongue, it's called Armageddon. Well, it's basically Ha. Ha means Ha, right? That's why you remember Alleluia. Some place, some hymnals, they have Alleluia, right? A-L-L-E-U-I-A. Gideon, okay? Yeah, Gideon looks like a bit stunned when I say that. Alleluia, yes, Alleluia. Okay? Alleluia is actually Hallelujah, right? It's the same. H-A-L-L. I think of Hebrew, I forgot how to spell it in English. H-A-L-L-1-E-U-J-A-H. Okay. Right, it's the same. Okay? Ha. Right, the R is actually Ha. Okay? Ha. But in this case, Ha means mountain. Right? Mountain of Megiddo. Okay, so take note. And so that would be the place where this great battle would take place. Right? Some would say it's World War III. I tend to think that, well, very high possibility that would be. And then in verse 17,
you have this very interesting scene where the vial is poured into the air, and this time there will be a great pronouncement from the temple of heaven saying, it is done. What do we mean by it is done? Well, down here, it is done means, well, the judgment is now complete. It's now final. The last and final judgment before what, the millennium. And so what is this judgment? Well, there were voices, there were thunderings, there were lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. I would tend to think that now this would be the Richter 10 earthquake, right? That's what scientists would often say, warning that the Richter 10 earthquake is coming. Right? Of course, they would say everywhere. Like, they would say California. They would say the Ring of Fire in the Pacific. You know, they say maybe Tokyo will be hit or whatever. Right? All these kind of predictions. Well, you want to be correct. Follow the Bible. Bible says where? Bible says Israel. You know Israel is on the fault line, right? Shermaine is not here. I think this time she didn't encounter earthquake. Brother Isaac, when there, no earthquake. Huh? Yeah, we're very happy. Actually, earthquakes don't occur very often in Israel. But if you study the Bible, when they do occur, well, oftentimes it's quite a major one. Right? There are a few times where there are cities in Israel, they are fell because of an earthquake. One such place, of course, is Beth Sha'an. Right? You go there, you can see the ruins of a place that has been of a great city that has been felt before by earthquake. But all these earthquakes, of course, are small compared to what is going to come down here. Here it says a great earthquake and mighty. And when you talk about the Richter scale is from what number to what number? Okay, Gershon. Richter scale is on a scale of what? You know the Richter scale? Have you all studied this? How to spell it? Mishan, do you remember? R-I-C-H-T-R, right? Richter scale, right? Oh, Jock, now they don't teach this. Maths? No. Oh, dear. Daniel? Secondary school, they do a job. You see, what is happening? Nowadays, our new syllabus, a lot of things don't have. Okay, Daniel, Richter scale is from what? You think can exceed 10? Well, exceed 10, I think we better be very afraid. Right? Because it's Richter scale is from 1 to 10. Now, when you look at Richter scale 1 to 10, please do not think that it is gradual. Please do not think it's linear. What is linear? Linear is this, right? Linear. That means 1, you look at 1 and 2, that means right, Richter scale 2 is twice as large as Richter scale 1. 3 is larger than 2. Twice as whatever as 2 or 3, 3 times as 1. Please do not think of that way. This is what we call a logarithm, you know, logarithmic graph, you all know? Yes? See, I'm teaching your maths, you know. The adults look like more understanding than you, because adults all use log graph, right, last time? Yes, adults, no calculator, last time calculator, all log graph. So you see, the adults all know what is called logarithm. Young generation use calculator, all don't know, log graph. And only put all the data into the calculator, and now the calculator plot for you the whole graph. All cheat one, all this. Ayo. Log graph, right? This way. Right? That means the further you go, the steeper the gradient. 1 to 10. So as you go to 1 to 10, the steeper it goes. I do not know what is the largest earthquake now that is recorded in the world. I think, I hope it's not 9 point something. Maybe 9 point something. But it has never hit 10. That is why the scientists are predicting doom and gloom. It will hit 10, and 10, they say, will be the big one in which the whole earth will be shaken up. Because it's really to the far end of that scale. And this is something which, personally, like in my opinion, I believe them. Why? Because of what is written down here. Only thing that a lot of them claim that is, you know California, that particular portion where there's a lot of earthquake, they claim that it may be that portion or some other place. I tend to believe that it will occur down here because that's what the Bible say down here. So mighty earthquake and so great. And this will be an earthquake that will, shake the great city, but if you look carefully, it not only shake the great city, but it affected the entire world. Right? Because it affected Babylon, which is the capital city of the world in those days. It also affected the islands. Because of this great earthquake, every island fled away. And so if Singapore is still in existence in those days, that is bye-bye Singapore. Okay? So, enjoy Singapore while it is still here, okay? Now, thank God, everything is so nice. And so you can go and enjoy yourself. You can be the young people that you want to go and eat their sushi, whatever. Go and enjoy. Because it's a limited time Singapore is going to be around. Because very soon, no more. Every island fled away. But before that happens, God willing, we already raptured. Let's pray that you are there, okay? Every island fled away. Mountains were not found. See that? A lot of the mountains in the world, they are going to be flattened. Maybe this will include Everest, right, if it's still in existence in those days. Flattened. Importantly, the great city itself, here the great city will refer to Jerusalem. Jerusalem itself will be divided. That is what will happen, and you know that will happen when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ land on the Mount of Olives, right? The whole thing is going to split east and west. And what is going to happen, very interestingly, if you look at the book of Ezekiel, you're going to have rivers of waters pouring down from the Mount of Olives, and it's going to come in and it's going to fill the Dead Sea. Now, those of you who have not gone to the Holy Land, maybe you can just imagine. But even if you have been to the Holy Land, it's going to be something that is very hard to imagine, because now when you look at the Dead Sea, it's really very dead. There was only one time where people witnessed fish in the sea. There was one group of pilgrims long time ago in FEBC who went and witnessed fish in the sea. But the fish all dead one, of course. All swept from the River Jordan up there, all dead. By the time, of course, come to the Dead Sea, they died. So a lot of big ikan bilis inside. Right? Ikan bilis is salted one, right? So a lot of big ikan bilis inside, all salted fish there. Only one time. Okay. Really Dead Sea. But when you read the book of Ezekiel, it's going to be the waters of life. It's going to be fish in there next time. And all these things happen. Why? Because the topography of the entire land of Israel will change when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes, like a thief. He will land on the Mount of Olives. There will be this major earthquake when the Messiah lands. And then the whole great city will be split into three. The rivers of waters will come down. And then many of the cities of the world will be flattened. Jerusalem itself, though, will be preserved. Although it will be split and then the topography will change. The rest of the world, the cities will be flattened. The topography of the land will also change. So by the time when you read about the millennium, and then when you read about Gog and Magog, all these things, please understand that when the time comes, during the time of the millennium, what we say about the land in those days, even with regards to Egypt or whatever that exists in those days, will be very much different. Something that we find very hard to imagine because we are so used to the topography, the geography of the world today. But please understand that this was not always the case, right, in the world. Right? Remember, the geography, the topography of the world has changed at least once. Right, and when is that time where the topography of the world changed? During the time of the Great Flood, it changed. Okay, where the waters came and then the world was flooded. And then, what happened? Garden of Eden, no more. The world, climate, everything was not the same anymore. This time, we always have rain. Last time, no rain. Right, the topography of the world changed. So, understand all these things, okay? And of course, in the book of Genesis, some says when they talk about Peleg, where they say the world was divided, they also, some people think that perhaps in those days, the land masses of the world were also divided now. That one we can't be sure, okay? But at least once, we know during the time of the Great Flood, topography changed. So this one also going to be. And you just imagine when the topography of the world changes, everything shifts. Like what the world has never seen before. And perhaps non-earthquake zone will now also be earthquake, right? Those in the earthquake zone, well, they will think that their houses are very well prepared for earthquake. But what about the non-earthquake zone? I mean, in Singapore, I do not know whether our houses... Okay, HDB man. Our houses are built to withstand earthquake, no? You see, don't know, you see? Correct, don't know. So earthquake happened here, how? So of course, Singapore flattened. Yeah, you go and hide in your bomb shelter. Shake, 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 quickly hide in the bomb shelter. Cannot hide in bomb shelter because our bomb shelter all full of stuff, become storeroom. Right? You hide inside, too late, gone. And that is exactly what is going to happen to the entire world. Anyway, Singapore will flat away. You hide in bomb shelter, also useless. The whole island also gone. Right? So the nations will be felt. Including this one particular city, which later on in Revelation chapter 17 will be given great prominence. Because it is the capital city of the world. It is representative of the spiritual adultery which the nations will commit in those days. And in some sense, it also represents the spiritual adultery and the Antichrist spirit that is in the world today. Okay? Babylon. They will really worship Babylon in those days. It will be the very city in which the whole world will look up to. If you want to talk about materialism, you want to talk about rebellion against God, look at this city. This city is the model city. Everybody follow this city and make your city to be like Babylon. That is what the world will say now. This great city, though, will be destroyed. It will come into remembrance before God. And God will specially reserve a special cup of the wine of fierceness of his wrath. In other words, a lot of blood will be spilled in this particular city. The islands fled away, the mountains were not found, and then to top it up, following the earthquake, there will come hail out of heaven. Our brother Adrian recently experienced hail when he visited New Zealand. I have also shared with you. Huh? Australia, yes. I have recently shared with you my little experience of very small hail in Edinburgh, in Scotland, which also a little scary already. But this one is called Great Hail. Have you seen hail? Yes, Australia experience? Thank you, last time? You see, so he will know. Your car got smashed by hail, huh? That is nothing compared to this one. Okay, your hailstone, normally a typical hailstone, how heavy is it? Golf ball size, right? This is not golf ball size. Every stone about the weight of a talent. A talent of gold. How heavy is a talent of gold? You can do your research on the internet. For some of us, we have appendix behind. So I just read from my appendix. Okay? Of course, different ones will say different numbers, but the variation is not great. So according to this one is the TBS appendix. Okay, it says, if I remember correctly, it is about 34 kg. Right? New Testament weights, talenton, right? 74 pounds, 34 kg. How heavy is 34 kg? Okay, again, the young people. Daniel already, okay, this time. Matthew Teng, you will help your mother with food, not? Buy food, not? To cook, not really, yeah. Can you remember how heavy is a packet of rice? You see Gideon is laughing already. Gideon, you know, plus, you sure? That is too heavy already. 100 plus. the red mark car will not start again. It's 100. 110 of it, okay? 10 kg, my friend. Okay, please remember, okay? 10 kg, okay? Next time, go and buy rice, okay? Okay, of course you laugh, but to be frank, last time, until I went FEBC, I also ignorant of it. That's how bad is it, you see? So, those of you in school, please don't only stick to your books. Please learn some general things in life. Please go and do some marketing. Follow your parents. Help them to carry, right? When you help them to carry, then maybe they do not need to go and call Redmart anymore because you are there. Then they can go and then they can choose all the fresh things. Okay, 10 kg. There's also a 5 kg version, okay? 10 kg, 5 kg. Then brown rice is, I don't really buy brown rice. How much is brown rice? 1.5, is it? 3 kg. 3 kg, okay. So, let's say it's 10 kg one. We take the heaviest, 10 kg, right? So 34 will be 3.5 packets of rice. No, each one, no, each one, 3.5 packets of rice falling down. No, you know how heavy is that? Matthew, today go and try, okay? You go and see whether your mother has. I think maybe have one. And then you go and try and carry, okay? Go and carry. Okay, how heavy is a school bag that you all carry? 5. I do not know. Maybe 5 kg. Okay, just imagine six school bags. One hailstone, 6 school bags come falling down. I think the one that smashed your car is nothing. Golf ball size, huh? This is the final hail that will come down. I cannot imagine. Hail that come down in this way because man, and it fell onto the ground. Sure, a lot of people will die. And this is global in scale, mind you. Global in scale. Will man repent? With all these plagues, with all these miracles, the true ones, men still blaspheme God. Men still blaspheme God. And it shouldn't come as a surprise. You just take a look at the Old Testament time with regards to the children of Israel, right? Even with the word of God among them, and then they saw the signs and miracles, they still find it hard to... Many of them were in unbelief. Right? Not only during the time of Exodus, during the time of the kingdoms, right? Especially the divided kingdoms. What more? During the end times. And of course, they will blaspheme God. Why? Because all of them will be so invested in Babylon. Even if they know that they should repent, they are wrong, they will find it so hard to let go. Because their whole life is now rooted in this world. The whole life is rooted in Babylon. Materialism, idolatry, rebellion. It is so hard to take away. You just look at the politicians in some of the countries that are out there, which a lot of them, they know that their politicians are corrupt, and they call for the politicians to change. And year after year, they say that the politicians won't change. Right? I'm talking about all those corrupt countries. Why won't they change? Why won't they change? Because they have already so much invested in their current position. You think that they will change and you think they will let go? They will not, because to change and to let go and to now lead a clean life means they were going to lose all their power. They just cannot let go. Same regards to the world. They have tasted this materialism. They have tasted the effects of globalization. One world economy. Right? That is exactly what is happening right now, right? Davos Economy Conference, right? Davos. And we think that is good, right? Because economy, of course. Now, that's not to say that the men, all of them there are evil. We are not saying that. But as time goes, everybody come, they get at a conference to talk about what? Talk about money, right? Money, and make more money. Well, otherwise, why you gather at the forum? What forum is it called? Economic forum, right? Economic forum means what? Make money, right? Same. So invested, they don't change. You have just destroyed our capital city, where we have placed our hopes and joys in. It is now gone. How can you do that, God? That is the world. And that's why men will be judged. And so, by the time we come to Revelation 17, as well as 18,
we will now have to discuss what is the nature of this city that when it is destroyed, the nations of the world hated God and blasphemed Him. That, God willing, we will see next week onwards. I'd like to now call upon Preacher James before he goes to Africa to close us in prayer. Preacher James.